Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
That's what Maryland does.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Are you a big man? Pop, I'm talking to you.
What?
You wake up in the morning, you say, I put on my big boy pants. Put on a little jacket, you go. You take your lunch because you got big boy pants on.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
I can say big loud things. I can be demonstrative. This is how you conduct yourself in a democracy.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
We want to look to the future. We've got to tear down the past. Babe Ruth was nothing more than a fat old man with little girl legs.
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this final hour, Dirt and Sprague on a Monday. Thanks for being with us on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Got a lot to get to in the final hour. Bad news for a Pac-12 team. Hangover cures. Baseball players dropping out. It's going to be busy. I want to start with some golf stuff, though, as a couple of news bombs over the weekend. Dustin Johnson sounds like ran away with it yesterday. I was in the car driving around. Did you watch much of the tournament this weekend?
Running away, I mean, I wouldn't describe it quite as that. Now, I didn't watch Saturday. I just saw the scoring. And then Sunday, I tuned in like when Johnson was on the 13th. So okay. I missed quite a bit of the last round, too. But
a little stretch of the back nine.
He was up by a stroke or two up on, who is the guy's name? Streelman?
Yeah.
You see that guy?
I have seen.
I'd never heard of him.
Never heard of Streelman before?
No, he's okay. An interesting cat.
He's been around for a couple years.
He was up by a couple strokes, and then he bogeyed, so he went up one and made it really interesting, but he ended up nailing on 18 and winning by one or two, I think.
Okay, nice little win for DJ over the weekend. So that was cool. There was something, though, that came out of the tournament that I think it was a bigger headline than Dustin Johnson winning, and that was... In the era of no fans and more microphones, I think this is bound to happen more often, and I am here for it. We had our first loud fart, and it came courtesy of Ian Poulter.
You get that? Right under there.
Can I hear it one more time? Give it to me one more time.
You get that?
Did he ask, did you get that?
Yes, did you get that? And then Chalmers. So it happened, Greg Chalmers was hitting his tee shot, who's a guy that I've never heard of before. So Poulter, actually, I can't stand Ian Poulter, but he went up like 10 points in my book for this. So,
dude, he did the COVID testing video, which he was like, yeah, this is what it looks like.
And he ended up having a really good first round, too, right after that.
He did, and then he did the fart.
He's all over the fart, thing. Man. So Greg Chalmers hits his tee shot, then that's when Poulter farts. You hear the tee shot, then the fart. He had some funny things. So he said, quote, his quote in the video was, did you get that? And then Chalmers apparently said, it's kind of muffled, you can't really hear it. He said, stay over there. Isn't it supposed to be more silent than that? And he took live ownership of it. He later posted on social media saying there was a 3-club win this morning on the first tee. Always beware the live mic. microphone and then followed it up clowning Greg Chalmers, the guy who hit the tee shot, saying the best part of it is that everybody thought it was him.
I did. Right? I thought it was him. Me and Joe both thought it was him.
Because somebody said, well, wasn't it Ian Poulter that was hitting the tee shot? And it wasn't, because Chalmers is a lefty.
I didn't notice that until I saw the video again.
He's a lefty. He apparently talked to TMZ Sports about it, and he said it's one way to protect social distancing. Keep guys spaced out.
How'd you get pink eye and COVID? Well, funny you mentioned that. It all started from Ian Poulter.
God,
put
I love
COVID
this.
In my eye.
I love this. Can I hear it one more time? So Chalmers hits a tee shot, and then Ian Poulter takes over.
Absolutely rips it.
God, that is such a good
a
part.
A lot of barking spiders in Connecticut.
Somebody said that has to feel good. It does, man. You let one go like that early on in a round.
You could hear the pressure release.
You
there.
Know, I know. Man, you can't be bloated. You can't get through your golf swing if you got gas rumbling around your belly.
I'm with you here, but like when you golf for a round with your boys, it's just four guys. I think it's expected and it's okay in that setting. But what catches me off guard is when it does happen, because it doesn't go on as much as you think.
Yeah.
So like the other day I was at Eastmoreland. We're putting on like 17 or 18. I putt in, the next person putts in, we're waiting for the next guy, and the guy who putted right after me just comes over and rips one. And I was just like, what?
Golf etiquette. Come on.
Oh, I know you're outdoors. There's no farting etiquette on the golf course. The only etiquette is you can't fart in the middle of a guy's backswing. That's the only etiquette that
exists. That's a no-no. That's definitely a no-no.
And it can be
no-no.
Tough. We've all been there in moments, right? You're standing on a tee box and you feel like the plop, 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 and you know a big fart's coming, and the guy's like right about to address the ball, and you want to make sure it doesn't affect him. You got to hold it until he's done swinging. But the second, that's where I'll give, because give me one more time. Take a note of Poulter's
perfect.
Timing
yeah.
of tee shot fart.
Clean.
Yep. You let him get his fall through done.
He held it
and then you get out of it.
That's phenomenal. I would say right as Chalmers stepped up to put the ball on the tee, it's right when Poulter had to let it go.
Right.
And he said, well, I'm not going to do it with practice swings.
Yeah.
Maybe he was trying to time it with the contact of the club hitting the ball so like, no one would hear.
It's the new Baba Booey.
Yeah.
Wow, he really got a piece of that one.
The crowd goes wild. So there you go. Ian Poulter farted over the weekend. I love that. The other bit of golf news that came out, this is pretty big for golf fans. The U.S. Open, if you do not remember, starting with a handful of years ago when it was at Chambers Bay, has been broadcasted on Fox, and it's been controversial for golf fans. The year one was a just unmitigated disaster. It was terrible. Joe Buck didn't really know what he was doing. The production was bad. The course, I mean, the whole thing was kind of an epic disaster. I would argue that Fox has gotten slightly better than that, but it's easy to get better when you start at such a low moment. They have announced that they are getting out of their deal with the USGA, and the NBC is going to pick up where they left off. I think the contract runs all the way through 2026.
Yeah, what do you think? Is this a financial move more so than it is coverage?
So
because this is interesting timing. You're getting out of the deal. NBC scoops it up. And
it is very interesting. My reading on this, I think part of it is financial. I think TV networks are struggling right now. Live sports is a huge part of what Fox does, and they haven't had any now in a long time. Outside of NASCAR, a couple of NASCAR races here and there, that kind of stuff. But I think they're desperate to start making some money back. I think the other part of it in the short term is, what does the U.S. Open and Fox do come September? If you have college football, the NFL, and the U.S. Open going on all at the same time,
the tournament.
You have a TV rights negotiation with all three of those things. You can't bump them. You can't bump the U.S. Open to FS3.
Yeah, that ain't
right.
Happening.
You have to air that thing on Fox. The same thing, they got their Fox Sunday broadcast. It's on at 10 o'clock. And what if it's a weekend where they have a doubleheader and you got a game at 10-1? You can't. I think those other contracts were more important to Fox in saying, we need to honor college football and the NFL. And now that the U.S. Open could be happening at the same time. That they and let alone baseball games on Saturday. I think it was just an overload thing for them partially. So they're getting out of the deal.
Yeah, I would say that's a really good point. I was wondering, and mainly because the UCLA story made me think of this, I was wondering if Fox just said, we're going to save some money here. If we can get out of this contract, we will. And then they did. But I didn't think about that college football, NFL, and the occasional weekend baseball. Remember, they sometimes have like a Saturday yep. day game on Fox.
And those are all like tier one TV right stuff. For
yeah,
them.
you can't just be bumping those, nor would you get the U.S. Open and bump the U.S. Open to FoxSports.com.
Right.
And that's the only outlet to possibly watch it. So I think they kind of chalked it up. They said, look, 2020 is a weird year. We're going to be backloaded with sports content if everything continues to go on schedule. Let's save ourselves a couple bucks. Let's prioritize everything that is more important, which is football and baseball, and we'll get out of this deal. And NBC does it really well. So it was kind of right. It seems like it's a win-win for everybody. And Joe Buck, I know Joe Buck was trying to defend it. And to me, it's not about defending. I mean, Fox didn't really do golf in my lifetime that I can remember. Maybe I'm misremembering
this was
year.
A new venture for them when they started. I think 2013 or 14 was their, whatever the Chambers one was, their first year.
So I wasn't shocked that it wasn't absolutely perfect coverage wise, but it did, to your point, it felt like they had gotten a lot better the last 2 years, that they had figured out the way they wanted to do it versus the way other networks had done it. But overall, I think that's a really good point, that you're just too backloaded with football and baseball. Where are you going to, when right. are you going to have the U.S. Open on?
Right. And this was kind of a new venture for Fox. Their moneymakers have always been football and baseball.
Oh, yeah.
That's what you know of Fox when you think of them, right? And so that was scheduled. It's at Wingfoot this year in New York. It was rescheduled for September 17th through the 20th. So you're looking at, what, the third week of college football, if it's happening, and the second weekend into the NFL with all that anticipation for football coming back, not to mention, what, the final week of the MLB regular season? So I think it's just that was my reading, and I'm sure part of it was financial as well, but the deal is going to run through 2026. NBC picks it up. NBC does a great job with golf. I will give Joe
Tirico on the call for that.
Do you get Tirico on the call, right? So I'm going to give Buck credit for this. He sent out this tweet, and I agree with it. He said, Nance Hicks, Tirico, Dan Hicks, who does a lot of stuff for NBC, he said, all better at calling golf than me, but I would put our production up against anybody's. Our innovation and drone shots and overall effort to try new things push golf coverage forward. And for that, I am most proud. Our producer, Mark Loomis, was a master tutor. Their broadcasts were not great. You would never rank them, I think, on the same level as CBS or NBC. The one thing you can give Fox credit for, and I agree with them, is they did push the technology that goes into it.
Yes,
and a lot
did.
Of the shot tracing
the
stuff
yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
and the drone footage that they do. Because NBC and CBS have kind of followed their lead with that and started to use that all over the broadcast now. So I'll give Fox credit for there. It was never matching up with NBC or CBS. And still, I think it was just weird for people to hear Joe Buck call golf. I think he got better at it, but you're just used to more traditional names doing it, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But I give Fox credit for that. So that was big news for golf fans today, as the U.S. Open will get out of their deal with Fox and go to NBC. NBC has, I think, the Ryder Cup. I mean, they got some other stuff as well. President's Cup, that kind of stuff. So they're just adding to their golf portfolio with the U.S. Open.
It's a good thing to complain about, but damn, is our summer schedule booked for us? You just got sports galore.
I mean, that's what I was bringing up in that crunch time segment.
Hey, I was going to say, you guys have vacation time to use up as well. Got to use that before the holiday season. So maybe you take a few days off, watch midday NBA.
No, that email wasn't for us. That email was for the other people.
Well, honestly,
we always take December off.
Yeah, we're always here in football season. But you think of though what September could mean, right? I mean, because the Blazers are going to play until what, August 13th, I think, is their last day of the regular season.
Whatever the 8 games is, and then you go home, that's when they go home.
That's when you're going home. But so you're looking at starting the NBA playoffs in the midpoint of August. So you're going to be pushing towards an NBA finals. You're going to potentially have college football and the NFL, major championships in golf, baseball season wrapping up and heading towards the postseason. I mean, it is going to be almost...
Where are they
going to
put all that? Because that's...
Right?
Like,
it's going to be overload for everybody. I don't know how we're going to keep up with all of it, if it all ends up happening.
Well, but you mentioned Fox. Like, how does Fox, like, do that? The college football stuff, the...
It's a great question.
The NFL game. We don't even know if the NFL is going to have the regular schedule. If they're going to say, we're going to stagger games or something. We don't know what they're going to do fully yet.
Yeah.
And that's such a wild card given the situation of the other sports.
Yeah. It's going to be wild, man, how they fit all that in, especially when the MLB postseason begins, because it's going to be, I think, on a sped up timeline and get it done in time.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a challenge. I remember we had a segment on that, it feels like ages ago, but near the beginning of COVID, when we were kind of hypothetically talking about when sports could come back and talking about it could be a nightmare for TV networks because you have all these contracts that you have to fulfill that they're all going to be going. You're going to have an entire sports calendar jammed into like 3 months and you're going to have to find a way to wedge all of that coverage in.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure they're salivating over the problem, but it's not going to be easy.
CBS, Fox, ESPN, mm-hmm. ABC, they're all going to have to deal with how you do multi games. Right. Turner's kind of the lone standout.
Right.
But doesn't Turner own the rights to one of the majors? Or is the Open Championship canceled,
no,
right?
No, they do. Turner, I think TBS does a PGA Championship, if I'm not mistaken.
And that one got pushed. So
yeah, that's going to happen later in the calendar year, too. Think of CBS, the weekend of the Masters. What are they going to do?
Yeah.
Because they air college football and they have the same problem. They've got college football and the NFL.
What's Turner do with playoff basketball and the PGA Championship?
Right? It's going to be, they're going to have to figure it out, add new deals to it, new tiers, but Fox not going that route.
I wonder if they reach agreements with other channels, you know what I mean? Like one-off deals, the way that the NCAA tournament or hockey does with like,
yeah,
I know we jokingly say Oxygen Channel, right? But like I don't know if that falls under the same contractual obligation for the networks that bid on NHL hockey, but it almost feels like a redundant thing to say NHL hockey.
Yeah,
it's National Hockey League.
Yeah.
But I wonder if they're going to outsource channels to a certain extent and get them to jump in and help take off some of the game coverage.
Not going
to
be easy, man. So there's a big bombshell in the golf broadcasting news. Fox no longer doing the U.S. Open. It's going to NBC.
By the way, you also forgot hockey.
Yeah, hockey's going to be going on at the same time, too, which NBC will be airing a lot of. Yeah, it's going to be wild. I hope we have to deal with that problem. It's a great
thought to have,
right? If that's the way that the 2020 sports calendar is ending, I am here for it, man.
How far does March feel right now?
It feels like ages ago, and it's crazy to think we're closer to it returning than it leaving, which is very, very exciting news. But there's a Fox bombshell for you. Okay, let's get to a bad news day for bad news for a team in the Pac-12. We'll get to that coming up next on The Fan.
Running!
This is Dirt and Sprague, Gun 1080, The Fan.
Well, I know a lot of businesses are going to be affected by the COVID shutdown. And one of them, a giant company that has a big office here in Portland, is apparently Under Armour.
Yeah, they're not too far. They're just right up the corner here.
Yeah, just right up the road. It's a good use of that facility.
Sick-ass looking building, too.
It is, yeah. That was kind of an untapped potential building for a long time. I think it was an old gym for a while.
It was a YMCA.
Yeah.
Who would be the coolest person of their celebrity endorsers to meet to you? The Rock, Spieth, or Curry? Who would you want to sit for 35 minutes with?
Are those the coolest three that they have? Are they cooler than Cam Newton? Are they cooler than...
Is Cam a Under Armour guy?
I thought he was.
Oh. I
know he was.
I don't mean this to sound like a shot. I don't know almost anything about Under Armour. I'm pretty heavy Nike guy.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if his like deal ran out or something like that. But yeah, he was definitely
like his Greek yogurt deal ran out.
Tom
after
Brady. Okay, this is a random Wikipedia list. Tom Brady.
Oh, okay. Tom.
Julio Jones.
Damn.
DK Metcalf apparently Under Armour.
Okay.
What else do we got here?
I mean, I'm going with the Rock.
Bryce Harper?
No questions.
Oh, okay. So what would the four be then? If you did a poll question of what person of these four would you want to meet? Would you put Harper instead of Spieth? So you go The Rock, Brady, Curry, Harper? Is there a bigger four than that?
I'm going The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, the Brahmint Bull, the most entertaining product,
now,
just The Rock all day long.
Yeah, I mean, does The Rock really count as an athlete, though? I mean, he's just a figure.
He's
an actor.
Yeah,
now.
No, I know, yeah, but...
He's not really the same category.
But his deal is because he's a workout guy.
He is. He's very fit, yeah. I was at a Dick's the other day. I saw his stuff all over the place. I was looking for a new pair of shirts.
I kind of want to buy a shirt, workout shirt. Yeah,
like his workout shirts.
Well, but and by the way, I think, if I'm not mistaken, he sells easily the most merch of anybody there.
Oh, there's... Yeah, I wouldn't doubt
that
at all.
His stuff always sells out.
Although I bet Tom Brady's done some good Tampa TB12 kind of stuff with Under Armour. I'm sure he's been on a good run there. And Steph Curry probably sells a ton, too.
Well, his shoes... I've actually liked a couple of his shoes, and then other shoes, like the dad shoe.
Yeah.
Where he wouldn't acknowledge that they were ugly as hell.
If I had to choose which of those guys I would want to meet, I would probably go...
You can ask him anything you want. Brady, Harper, Curry, or The Rock.
I would... I mean, I would go Jordan Spieth, probably.
Oh.
I would.
I tried to go the four biggest names.
I saw that one coming.
I mean, because I didn't want to ask him questions about my golf game.
Hey, Jordan,
can you look at my swing?
How do you chip with a 60?
Right, huh? What do you do there, Jordan? What's your strategy?
Are you a super stroke guy? Huh? I just got it fitted.
You go reverse grip putting? What are you thinking there? Why do you look at the hole while you putt?
Jordan, I had 7 IPAs over the weekend, and I still shot a 79, we think.
So that's probably where I would go. Anywho, apparently...
I'm kind of disappointed.
Are you? Well, like Tom Brady, I can't stand Tom Brady. Steph Curry, I don't mind.
How can you not like Tom Brady?
It's very easy to not like Tom Brady, actually.
You
he
open mouth liars.
Kisses his kids. Steph Curry...
I don't like Tom Brady for that reason.
Yeah, sure. Steph Curry's probably the coolest. But I can't stand the Warriors, so I want to do him. And Bryce Harper's a douche. And I don't have a fascination.
How do you know he's a douche?
He just looks like a douche. And I don't have a fascination with The Rock like everybody else does.
Do you follow him on Instagram?
I do not.
Oh.
I don't. I don't watch his movies. I get it. The Rock's a big deal, but he's not my cup of tea.
Wow. You crapped on Tom Brady, The Rock, Steph Curry, and Bryce Harper in one segment.
In favor of Jordan Spieth. How'd you blow that Masters, Jordan? What happened?
Jordan, what's your life like?
It's great. I wake up at country clubs and I have lemonade.
He does look like a lemonade drinker, doesn't
he's
he?
He's for sure. He's the guy that you give an Arnold Palmer to and he dumps out the iced tea part of it.
There's in your vodka in here. Take that out, please. So Under Armour's, at the start of COVID apparently, not at the start of COVID, when they inked deals with Pac-12 schools, Cal and UCLA, their stock price was $43 a share. You want to know what it is now?
18.
I'm going to go 10.
Apparently now it's 9.
Oof. Oof.
Apparently they have delayed payments to some of the professional athletes in their portfolio.
Oh, man.
On top of that.
Delayed payments?
The news over the weekend came as, remember their record-breaking contract that they reached with UCLA, which made all of us ask, why? UCLA sucks.
280, right?
210-year, $280 million deal.
God.
They are apparently trying to terminate that deal. They are also attempting to do the same thing with Cal. They have taken both UCLA and Cal off of their website. They have like a college fan gear page, and they're both not on there anymore.
Wow.
Their claim, and this was reported by the LA Times over the weekend, their claim about UCLA was, quote, they are paying for marketing benefits that we have not received for an extended period of time. So.
Yeah, I don't see a lot of UCLA pub.
Not great. Also, apparently on top of this, Learfield IMG is the biggest, like, broadcasting thing for college sports.
If I'm not mistaken, Oregon and Oregon State are both part of
the
IMG.
They used to be competing companies, and they have since joined.
Yeah.
Because I think Oregon State was Learfield, and Oregon was IMG.
Yeah.
Now they're the same company.
Yep.
So they are the biggest broadcasting company in college athletics. They apparently also have UCLA and Cal on their partnership thing, and they are apparently asking them as well to like revise their multi-million-dollar deals. And maybe terminate them. Not terminate, but they're saying, we're going to give you less money. So things are not going well for UCLA and Cal right now. Mostly UCLA, because that's $280 million. That's a big one. But Cal, it sounds like going through the same thing.
I saw a funny tweet that ended up being fake, but it was funny. Somebody did breaking. UCLA reaches $500,000 deal with LA Gear to be the exclusive provider of equipment for UCLA football. Light up cleats and light up helmets. This is actually a pretty, pretty big story. You could make an argument. It is the biggest story in sports today.
Yeah.
I know we didn't get to it until 2:30, but I saw this over the weekend and my jaw kind of dropped because I remember us talking about that deal going, good Lord, $280 million.
Mm-hmm.
And look, Under Armour's got some nice equipment. They're pretty heavy into golf. They've really leaned into that golf strategy, which isn't bad. There's a lot of people out there. I was looking for golf merch yesterday. And
they hit on Jordan Spieth. I mean, right when they got Jordan Spieth, he came out and won a couple of majors. I think it helped the brand.
But this is a devastating blow, and I think it just speaks to what a lot of these universities are facing right now. It's not just ticket sales. It's not just home-and-home games or having other opponents welcome you in and giving you a contract. It's stuff like this, too, that's tied to it. And when you have your merchandise provider say they want to back out of a $200 million-plus dollar deal, I'd say that's awfully concerning to the point where it just reaffirms my opinion. There is no doubt they're going to play college football. Is it going to be ideal? Probably not. Empty stadiums? Yeah, I'd bet on that. But they can't afford to go a year without anything. I mean, if you're losing $280 million, 28 a year, you can't afford to lose the games either.
Also, why would you give UCLA a 10-year, $280 million deal? That needs to be asked as well. That's just bad business.
Well,
UCLA has been largely irrelevant in football for how long now?
Basically my whole life, if I'm being honest about it.
Their and this was signed a handful of years ago, so their basketball team has been...
Their basketball hasn't been great.
Since Kevin Love left.
Yeah, they had the Kevin Love years, but in between that, it was Steve Lavin, and then before that, it was almost nothing.
They had Lonzo for a year.
They got to the Sweet 16 one year. He was gone.
See, but those are one-offs. Like, when USC wins the Rose Bowl with Sam Darnold, it's like, but that's the most, one-off of their run with Clay Helton that we've seen.
Doesn't mean that USC's back. They had one good year.
My only thought when that happened, I don't know if I shared the opinion, it has to be, like, they're just tapping into L.A. They think we can hit the other L.A. school, and there's so much support if you're not USC that they're UCLA. We can hit on that market, but I don't think that's as big as they think it is.
So you know that lawyers are making a lot of money to pour over those contracts right now, because there's a lot of that force majeure stuff that gets talked about of, like, no – I mean, Under Armour's not wrong in terms of no sports have been played for a long time. So is there some sort of clause in there that allows them to back out of that deal because they have not got the benefits of a March Madness with UCLA wearing their jerseys or football being concerned about?
Well, okay.
I'd be curious if that language is in there somewhere and if they have legit grounds to actually back out of the deal.
But let me say this, though. I would absolutely make the statement and the claim the only school in college sports that has greatly benefited and vice versa from the company they partner with is Oregon. Oregon helped make Nike. Nike absolutely helped make Oregon. Mm. Ohio State could be with Adidas. Doesn't matter. Michigan could leave Jumpman and go with Under Armour. Doesn't matter. All that merch is being bought at the same clip. Those clothing companies don't actually help those universities sell more merch. They're just the provider at the time you buy the merch. Nike and Oregon are synonymous. That you can't find a better partnership in maybe any sport.
You're not wrong about that. It's also a unique circumstance because he went to Oregon.
Right, but that's the circumstance. Right. So in regards to that, Nike and Oregon are ones that have equally helped each other grow to a level they never thought. Now, Nike grew more so with Jordan, but Oregon's always kind of been attached to them, whereas Nike's obviously helped Oregon a ton. There's not another university or institution attached to anybody, no matter how big the contract is.
Yeah, that resonates to that level.
That transcends the university. Like, Jumpman in Michigan was a huge deal when that got announced. People were freaking out. Oh, they're going to have Jordans now, and everybody's going to go to Michigan. Yeah. Well, Oregon's got Jordans, and they're doing better in recruiting than Michigan, so it hasn't helped them to the level people thought it would. But that doesn't matter, because Michigan was an Adidas school before Jumpman. Michigan fan was buying the same merch at the same
just
clip.
Changes over.
Just the Jumpman matches other things a little better for some people, but largely doesn't help the institution.
Huh. What do you make of this situation the UCLA and Cal are apparently in with Under Armour as they're looking to terminate the deals with both schools? It sounds like Cal released a statement on it. We'll read that to you on the other side. Also, a couple of baseball tidbits to get to as some players are opting out of playing in the upcoming season. We'll get to that next. First, here's Joe with SportsCenter.
This is Dirt and Sprague, gone 1080, The Fan.
Yeah, we're talking about Under Armour as they're trying to get out of the UCLA deal and apparently the Cal deal as well. Cal released a statement saying, "While we understand we are in challenging times, we have been and remain committed to our partnership with Under Armour. We're confident that we are fulfilling the terms of our agreement and that Under Armour does not have grounds for termination. We know that UA, Under Armour, has put years into building its college business. And we have done and will continue to do everything in our power to help them succeed." So they're saying, yeah, not so fast, my friend. We're not letting you out of this deal. We're doing everything right on our end, which is a pretty strong statement from them. We were talking during the break, and somebody texted in a good point, too. Where'd it go? Fan text line, by the way, 503-250-1080. They said, Under Armour took their swing at the champ and didn't connect. Just because I'm rewatching the show, I'll make the reference. When you play the Game of Thrones, you win or you die. It's going to take a whole lot to take down Nike. Under Armour isn't the one to do it. And I think there's a valid point to that where you just kind of find your niche.
Yeah, I think they've found their niche, but they won't just embrace it.
Right.
I think it's pretty evident. I mean, look, I'm a pretty heavy Nike guy. I think a lot of people in this region, you're tied to Adidas or Nike, and you have a backstory for it. But as much as I love Nike, there's no doubting, like, the Rock line for Under Armour, their workout gear, it sells out. It's not saying there's nothing ever available. It's just like when he releases a workout shoe, it's gone. When he releases like a new hoodie or something, it sells out quick. Yeah, yeah. He is their number one brand pusher. And I was at Golf Galaxy yesterday getting some stuff. You can't help but notice, like, half the store is Under Armour. And by the way, good looking golf gear.
Yeah, I love their golf polos.
I love their polos. They do these stripes with bright colors. I like that. They had some good looking pants. You just kind of need to know what you're great at and own it. Whereas I think, and look, we're not running the company, right? We're kind of playing armchair quarterback here.
That's what we get paid to do. Easy job.
I still haven't seen an actual human being at a non-Golden State basketball game wearing Under Armour basketball shoes in my life.
No. No.
So who are you reaching with that?
Well, with Steph Curry's shoes, I think you're reaching the dads.
Are you? I still haven't seen dads rock them.
Yeah, I've never seen anybody wear a pair of shoes.
They can do whatever they want as a company, and they'll have to live and die with those decisions. I just think they try to go into different departments that people don't identify with them, whereas, like, Nike doesn't make equipment. They make clothing and stuff like that. I feel like you could really dive in as a sports apparel company into golf and do pretty well. Or Joe mentioned they do hunting.
Yeah, I do a lot of outdoors stuff.
Everybody that I follow on Instagram that's like a friend or a friend of a friend or something that you don't really, you know, you're not that close with. Every time I see them with like a hunting picture, they're wearing an Under Armour camoed pullover of some sort. Every time. Golf and hunting.
Yeah, go that route. Joe brought up a good point, too. We were talking, when they first burst onto the scene, the thing that we all remember them for was the Protect This House, the click-clack. Remember the big dude walking down thing?
I think of it as the undershirt.
Right, it was the long-sleeve, turtleneck, thermal, like warmer than a normal long-sleeve shirt kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And that's what set them apart. They kind of had their niche. And I think to the point of taking on Nike, like, you're never going to be able to be Nike. It's just a reality. Nike has a long head start on you, and they're just the dominant sports apparel brand. Adidas can come close in certain areas, but it's just hard to match what Nike does because of how successful they've been. And when you try and come as like a widespread just sports apparel company, you might be able to beat them in specific categories, but you're not going to be able to beat them all around. And I think that's where it comes down to, like, find your niche and stick with it. Find what you're good at or what you're going to be able to cut through. Somebody texted in, they're big into lacrosse. Like, go down those kind of avenues,
point.
Right?
Yeah.
I was curious too, so I just went and looked on their Wikipedia page. Apparently, here are the notable Under Armour sponsorships of college football. Some of them we know. Some of them you have to remind yourself. Utah also was an Under Armour school, so it's another school in the Pac-12. Outside of that, the biggest ones are likely Wisconsin, Auburn, and Notre Dame. Texas Tech. Yeah, Texas Tech is in that mix. I mean, Cincinnati, Boston College.
Maryland sticks out because they did that ugly-ass uniform.
Oh, South Carolina is also Under Armour.
But like,
so that's,
none of
that's
these,
what you're talking about.
None of these institutions you're naming, I think of Under Armour. I just think of the institutions and their apparel company and partner is largely irrelevant to me.
The funny thing is, I would argue their three biggest schools are South Carolina maybe budges in there, but Wisconsin's been much better than South Carolina. I would say Wisconsin, Notre Dame, and Auburn are their three biggest schools. They all have traditional jerseys that you don't change.
Yeah.
Auburn's worn the same jerseys forever. Notre Dame's always worn. I mean, they wrinkle every now and then with
they
something
stupid.
They get made
stupid. Fun of when they do, like, the Yankee Stadium
Dude, those
stuff.
Horrible. Those are the ugly jerseys, the worst ever created. but their normal jerseys are always the same.
Yeah.
It's the Golden Dome helmets, the golden pants, the blue jersey, right? It's the same thing every week. And Wisconsin's the same thing. It's a big W on the side of the helmet, a red jersey with white pants. Like, they're traditional unis. That's the unique part about those partnerships.
Well, it's kind of always been an underlining conversation with Oregon State fan that I've heard both when I was at Oregon State and what I've heard on social media. There's a decent contingent of Beaver fan that actually doesn't want Oregon State to be attached to Nike. And they say, one, we get the hand-me-downs. We're the second Nike school in the state, which, yeah. And then two, they think that going like Adidas or Under Armour or something of that nature is going to set them apart for recruiting. And I largely laugh at that. I'm like, do you really think? And there are people that do, but you really think there's kids that are deciding based on the brand? Come on, man. That's not the way they do their decisions whatsoever. Is it about checks under the table? Probably. Cash handshakes? Maybe. It's also about winning. So if Oregon State is Adidas and they're not winning, you're not suddenly pulling in recruits because you're different in the state of Oregon. I've never liked that argument because, again, to my point, there is only one college that is actually attached to a brand And any other school can switch any brands they want. They have. They've gone to multiple brands. All these big institutions you just named. Notre Dame wasn't Under Armour forever. They've all been to different brands. It doesn't matter. Those are, a lot of those programs are so iconic or blue blood that or rabid fan bases. They don't care whether they're Adidas, Under Armour, Reebok, or Nike. Oregon's really the exempt one in college sports. That Nike and Oregon is, it makes the most sense, and it's just kind of, they're like a dad and son, like a brother sister, man. It'd be weird without each other.
Yeah. Somebody texted me, when you go to the East Coast, you see Under Armour a lot more often. That could be true. I'll point out just to let people know, like, what the stock price is currently, and that's not a direct reflection of everything that's going on in the company, but should be noticed. So we told you Under Armour stock price is now at $9.
You said it was at 43?
A share, yeah. The highest I've seen in the last 5 years, it was at, in 2015, it was essentially at $52 a share.
Oh.
In 2015. So it's $9.83 right now.
Yeah, like 85% of your value.
Not good. Nike currently is going for just shy of $100 a share, and Adidas is going, how about that, for $130 a share. Their stock price is doing pretty good right now.
But see, yeah, Adidas,
I just thought
is,
that's worth pointing out.
Adidas is doing some pretty cool stuff with their designs.
They are.
Nike just unfortunately crapped the bed a bit in their last quarterly report. I think they were down $800 million. They announced some layoffs coming, which is really unfortunate. But you're never competing to that level.
Yeah, so that was the larger point there. But we'll see how it turns out. This could be bad news for UCLA and Cal. Pac-12 football programs and athletic departments are financially strapped right now to begin with, and you get a record-breaking contract that makes big news, and then, you know, they try and get out of it. 10-year, $280 million deal UCLA signed with Under Armour. Now they're trying to get out of that contract, also trying to get out of it with Cal.
Hey, did you know that Giselle is one of their athletes? Or, I don't know, athlete with quotation marks? There, she's sponsored by Under Armour.
That's nice of Tom to get that into the contract.
She's not an athlete.
She is classified under non-athlete sponsorship.
Have you seen her
walk
that? Do we
count models as athletes?
You seen them walk that runway?
Also, ASAP Rocky signed to Under Armour for summer.
Yeah, that's the thing, though, is you got to get like celebrity people.
Yeah, Adidas has Kanye. Nike has Kanye.
Run DMC, maybe?
Took me a long time to register. Adidas has a commercial right now with Jonah Hill voicing it. Have you seen that one?
No.
Yeah, it's weird. I'm trying. Like, I remember the first time I watched it, I was like, I know that voice. Whose voice is that? And then I think I looked it up that he's, like, sponsored by Adidas.
Did you remember that commercial they did a couple years ago where they had everybody that they had a partnership with in a boardroom?
Yeah, everybody at the table.
It's like James Harden, and then I think it was, like, a Travis Scott or Dame was there. Like, it was all these random people.
Yeah.
And then they weren't even next to each other. They had, like, green-screened each other in so they looked like they're sitting next to each other.
Yeah, so there you go. Under Armour, UCLA, Cal. They're trying to get out of those two deals. Bad news for the conference. Bad news for those programs. We'll keep an eye on where that story goes. Okay, couple baseball players dropping out. Also, hangover recommendations. We'll close up there next on The Fam. Aww, freak
out. This is Dirt and Sprague, Gone 1080, aww, The Fan.
They said stock price doesn't tell us anything. What's market capitalization? What's their market capitalization number? Under Armour's is $4.2 billion. Nike's is $118 billion. That's where they're at. Somebody else
I think that went worse. That went worse for Under Armour than even the stock price.
Yeah, it's not good. Somebody said, I've been saying it for years. Under Armour's not a shoe company. They make undergarments. Stay in your lane. Stop trying to compete with Nike. Stick to underwear. I agree with that.
Do you guys recall the moment that you realized Under Armour was trying to be a big dog the way that Nike and Adidas are, instead of just doing role and we're going to fill it?
I mean, I think it was with Maryland, and they started doing those weird jerseys like 4 or 5 years ago.
The flag uni?
Yeah, and it was
Pop was some big athletes. They really, I mean, they had Cam Newton for a while. They had Tom Brady. You had Steph Curry when he broke in. You had Spieth when he initially was winning his majors early in his career. Like, they had big athletes that were sponsoring them, and I think that's when it started to say, okay, we got these athletes. We can become one of those kind of brands.
But Spieth is almost a standalone because golf...
It's easier to notice in golf.
Well, golf aficionados like love players like Spieth. He's like the LeBron of his tour, right? Like, everybody has their favorite golfer and they're attached to him. Even with Curry, like, yeah, did it draw some people to buy some Steph Curry shoes? Sure. But did they really think, oh, we've got Steph Curry and that means we're going to start selling on the level or even close to the level of Nike or Adidas? Because if they did, that was a pretty gross miscalculation on their part. I love Steph Curry. I do. I know we do a lot of Dame Steph Curry stuff here, but I love watching him play. There is nothing he can do as a player that would get me to go buy that stuff.
Well, I think a couple years ago, didn't they also make a big effort to try and get Durant when his contract was up and basically said, like, we'll give you a stake in the company. We'll give you $400 million because he's from the Maryland area as
right.
well.
Yeah.
Try and so, play the hometown discount. Kind
exactly.
of thing.
But I remember they were going to give him everything, basically, well, keys to the company, it seemed.
But if the story comes out that they're withholding payment, good luck getting athletes to endorse you that are high-level names. You know what I mean? You can get the run-of-the-mill PGA guy that not a lot of people know, sure.
You got to take shots on take flyers on guys that aren't household names coming out of college.
Well, see Steph Curry.
It's a prime example of that.
His Nike meeting went terrible. They called him the wrong name.
Yeah.
They weren't his slideshow, I think, had KD or LeBron in it. I can't remember.
And that's the whole reason he went with Under Armour.
And he went with Under Armour because there was nobody else there.
Yep. Okay. A couple of baseball names I want to throw out. I don't know if there's any more than this that I've missed, but three players so far that we know of that have announced they are not going to be playing in the upcoming season. Ryan Zimmerman of the Washington Nationals.
Ah, I like me some old man Zimmerman.
Yeah. And this actually might mean the end of his career, so that's kind of a bummer, right. But he went on a high note if that's the case because they obviously won the World Series last year. Joe Ross, also of the Washington Nationals. Zimmerman, I believe, his mother has like MS or something like that.
Mm.
There was a medical reason behind it. Joe Ross, who was, I believe, slated to be their fifth starter in Washington this year, he is backed out in Mike Leake of the Arizona Diamondbacks. So three Major League Baseball players, and I'm sure there will be more, but those are the only three that I've seen so far.
Yeah, Ross and Zimmerman said that there might be two to three more Washington Nationals players that might end up backing out.
Guys that are considering it right now, they haven't made a decision yet.
How pissed is Rob Manfred if more big names? Not that Zimmerman's on the level of a Trout or a Harper or whatever, but I wonder what the thought process is if you get some of those names like, We're out.
So far, the NBA and Major League Baseball have been able to avoid that. NBA, most players were, I mean, there were some kind of key role players, but not like a household star of a franchise sitting out, if you will. In baseball so far, like, you know, Zimmerman's a known name, but he's right. an older player at this point. He's a reserve kind of guy. Right. Joe Ross might be their fifth starter. And Mike Leake's a serviceable starter, but let's not act like he's a front of the line ace anymore. So, so far they've avoided that. Want to run through a couple of quick poll questions and then we'll get your hangover keys. Which team will have the better season? 71% of people say the Bucks with Brady instead of the Pats with Cam Newton. After digesting it over the weekend, how do you feel about the Civil War name change? 52% of people say they don't care. It's just a name.
Well, what's the other percentage breakdown?
21% say they're pissed. 17% say they're getting over it. And 9% say, good, it needed to be changed. Hmm. Interesting breakdown there. And then how good of a year will Cam Newton have? 50% say he'll be good in New England. 4% say he's elite. 9% say he's going to suck or get injured.
Hmm.
So an interesting mixture there. I did ask, because I had a rough Saturday night, what do you guys have a go-to hangover cure when you have one of those mornings? What's your go-to? Do you have a go-to?
I mean, you can't go wrong with a little hair of the dog that bit you, you know?
You go hair of the dog. Hair of the dog can be dangerous, because then it can start you down a road that you end up in the same spot that you were trying to avoid.
Yeah, and sometimes you're so hungover that that actually ends up getting you over the top, and now you're in the toilet all day.
Yeah.
Hair
of the dog is great if you want another day of drinking.
You know
that's
what?
It's easy to go that route.
I do a lot of prep the day before.
Okay.
So, like, in that moment that you realized, oh no, I'm in trouble, that's the moment I start taking Advil. I'm chugging water. I'm doing what I can.
I feel like in my younger days, I went a lot of greasy food was kind of the approach. But now that I've gotten older, it kind of backfires a little bit.
Greasy food's good.
It doesn't have the same impact that it had in my early
20s.
Yeah. So I got to come up with a new one. We had some great responses. You can go send yours at Dirt and Spray Guy 1080 The Fan on Twitter. That'll do it for us. Thanks for being a part of our Monday, everybody. Hope you had a great weekend. Some really funny ones to read. We will talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number one's next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you.
Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.